The following views and opinions do not necessarily reflect those of AM 1230 WYTS, its staff, management, or parent company, Clear Channel Broadcasting. Listeners should not use Dr. Kvitko's comments and advice in the place of receiving an actual dental exam.
Brighten your life with a smile that shows the professional touch of Dr. Kvitko.
Time now for Dentally Speaking with Dr. Brian Kvitko on AM 1230 WYTS. This week's show brought to you by Henry Schein Dental. Call 821-1230. That's 821-1230 to discuss your dental issues. Now, here's your host, Dr. Kvitko on AM 1230 WYTS.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko. I'm General Dentist Dr. Brian Kvitko, and thank you for joining me. Yesterday, we had our golf outing to raise money for the Down Syndrome Association of Central Ohio. I want to thank everyone who came out. We had a good time. It was a little hot, but once you got moving in the golf cart, things cooled off just a little bit. We had a lot of fun, food, nice prizes from the sponsors that I've been mentioning over the last several weeks. So I think the people who came left there with a good sense that they'd done something good for Down Syndrome, as well as taking home some wonderful prizes. So hopefully you can join us next week. And we're not doing it next week, next year, when we do it again. Obviously, we haven't set the date yet, but we hope to get that set up. We'll take a little break and then figure out when the best weekend would be to get the best attendance. Now, September 13th is the Buddy Walk, which is at the Crew Stadium, and it takes place between the hours of 10 till 1 p.m., 10 a.m. till 1 p.m., and I will be there with some members of my staff, and we'll be supporting Libby Turner, who is a patient of ours, happens to have Down syndrome. And it's a great event because you go out and you basically create a team. We call ours Libby's Tooth Buds, and we solicit donations. People hopefully will sponsor us, and then we can generate more money for the Down Syndrome Association of Central Ohio. And they work to help folks live better lives, basically, and show how they can be productive members of society. All right, so also, I want to give out Dr. Kvitko's question of the day, and I'd like you to call in with your guesses. The number is 821-1230. Today's question is, according to research conducted at the Cleveland Clinic, redheads require what percent more anesthetic for it to be effective? All right, maybe you didn't know this, because I didn't either until recently. Redheads require more anesthetic. So the question is, by what percent? What percent more do they need for it to be effective? Maybe you're a redhead and you already know this. So if that's the case, give us a call at 821-1230. And if you're not a redhead and just want to guess, that would be fine too. You can also send your guesses to an email address, dentallyspeaking on am1230@yahoo.com. Now today what we're going to do is talk a little bit about what's going to be called more dental news bites. We're going to talk about some things that are in the news as it regards dentistry. And so let's talk about the redhead story first. And I'm not going to give away the answer, but we're just going to go ahead and talk about it. So a new study has found that redheads are more than twice as likely to avoid a visit to the dentist, possibly because they're more sensitive to pain. But does their hair color really mean more discomfort in the dentist chair? Nicole Kidman, Hazel Blairs, and Prince Harry may all share ginger-colored locks, but could they also share a fear of the dentist? Sometimes scientists say yes. So perhaps no one enjoys the prospect of the dentist drill or a shot of Novocaine. Of course, I know that firsthand. But new findings published in the Journal of the American Dental Association suggest that the problem may be a bit more serious for redheads. The research, as I said, was conducted at the Cleveland Clinic in Cleveland, Ohio. And it measured the anxiety that redheads feel about the dentist and concluded that they are not only nervous but are more than twice as likely to avoid a visit to the dentist altogether. This would be compared to their brunette and blonde counterparts. The problem is researchers in the United Kingdom and Canada say people with ginger hair are the same or more pain tolerant. I don't even know what ginger hair is. Maybe because I'm kind of colorblind, but I don't know. If somebody can explain that to me, certainly give us a call 821-1230. I just had never heard that word when it applies to hair. Basically, the researchers recommend that dentists proceed gingerly, no pun intended apparently, by evaluating all patients, especially redheads, for anxiety. Some scientists aren't yet convinced, citing studies that suggest the exact opposite, saying that maybe redheads are actually more stoic. Here's a quote that says, "Careful work has to be done to suggest that redheads may well have a reduced sensitivity to pain," says Ian Jackson, head of the Medical and Developmental Genetics at Medical Research Council in Edinburgh. And they respond to analgesics, which are painkillers, better than non-redheads. You know, I personally don't have a recollection of redheads who have had any more pain than the rest of the population, and there are some quotes here from some other dentists. However, the study has concluded that, and so I'm going to be on the lookout. But again, if you're a redhead and you feel like you especially avoid the dentist, feel free to give us a call. I'd like to talk to you. The next thing that I saw as interesting, this is in called the Dental Tribune. Happens to be the April issue. It's written by Fred Mishmershusen, who, oh boy, I'm sure I messed up that name, but anybody with, what is that, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 letters in their last name is probably used to people not getting it correct. Dr. Ivan Ho, a Southern California-based dentist and founder of Platinum Dental, recently performed a concentrated stem cell transplant for one of his patients in need of implants. The innovative procedure, called a bone marrow aspirate concentration, BMAC, is reported to be the first on the West Coast and only the second performed in the United States. Dr. Ho harvested and transplanted stem cells from the patient's own bone marrow into his jawbone to create a dense bone structure to which a dental implant can later be permanently set. And this process involved harvesting of the stem cells through the small incision in the hip bone. That's done in the morning of the procedure, and then using a centrifuge, Dr. Ho isolates and concentrates stem cells from the plasma, transplants them into the jaw, and then added an allograft. Now, an allograft is a graft of someone's own tissue or human tissue. So, Dr. Ho explained that the stem cell will work with the surrounding tissue to eventually generate healthy, dense bone tissue to which the dental implant can be permanently attached. Now, currently, what has to happen, and this is in somebody that doesn't have the dense bone that you need to hold an implant. All right, so for example, people that weren't candidates before, because of this poor bone density. He described the outpatient procedure as minimally invasive and relatively painless and said that it takes between 1 and 3 hours to perform and that it provides faster healing, less pain, and better results than other implant procedures. The other implant procedures would be using blocks of bone from either your own other parts of your body, either other parts of the jaw, or a donor bone that has to be put in place with screws and things. Because we're using the patient's own stem cells, this enables the body to increase bone growth in the jaw through angiogenesis to permanently support the dental implant. Because of the use of dentures and bridges carry a high risk of problems in many cases, resulting in gum disease, tooth decay, and the loss of viable teeth, additional costly surgical procedures are necessary where dental implants are the most natural solution and provide the best long-term results. So this is pretty neat. It's relatively new. I don't think it's going to be in wide use anytime soon, but it's nice to know, because anytime we can use one's own cells instead of donors, it's, I believe, more safe, and, or I guess the word would be safer, and seems to me that the overall predictability of the procedure will be good. Anyway, oh, thank you. I have a little note here. Somebody has called in and given us a description of ginger. Ginger hair describes a color that has a vibrant reddish hue to it. Hence, it can be anything from red to orange to yellow. No wonder I didn't know what it was, because it doesn't even look like the definition knows what it is, huh? It's like examples of golden ginger, strawberry ginger, and orange ginger, ginger tom, cat or bloke with ginger hair. Huh. Okay. Well, apparently it's different shades of, orange and yellow that have a reddish tint, I guess. Okay, I'm trying to think if I can think of anybody that knows anybody famous with ginger hair. And I can't think of it right now. Now, before I forget, I just want to mention that on September 13th, we are going to have a special guest on the phone with us, and it's Dr. Jeffrey Hillman. And Dr. Hillman has been working for almost 20 years on what will be a vaccine against tooth decay. And this is, he's from the University of Florida College of Dentistry in Gainesville. And he's developed a genetically modified strain of the bug that doesn't make lactic acid. The bug meaning one of the germs that lives in our mouth anyway. And this particular bacterial strain that he's dealing with will basically replace one that's already in our mouth, but it won't produce acid, therefore we won't get cavities. So it's pretty neat stuff. So be sure to mark your calendar to tune in on September 13th, Sunday morning at 9. Let's talk about this story. This story is gene therapy showing promise for treating gum disease. So there's a lot of neat scientific research going on. Researchers at the University of Michigan have discovered that gene therapy may be an effective tool against periodontal disease, the leading cause of tooth loss in adults. This is according to an article in the American Dental Association news update. Gene transfer research, the insertion of genes into an individual's cell and tissues to treat life-threatening conditions, isn't new. However, the Michigan group is the first known to use the gene delivery approach to show potential in treating chronic conditions such as periodontal disease, said Dr. William Giannoble, professor of the UM School of Dentistry and principal investigator on the study. Quote, periodontal disease is more disabling than it is life-threatening, said Dr. Giannoble, who directs that Center of Oral Health Research. This is so important because the next wave of improving medical therapeutics goes beyond saving life and moves forward to improving the quality of life. The Michigan researcher collaborated with Target Genetics, a Seattle-based biotechnology company, for the study, and they tested 127 human subjects and showed a 30% improvement in pain relief as well as a gain of function. That's a big, big percent, by the way. Very, very statistically significant. The researchers also found a way to use inactivated viruses to help certain cells produce a soluble, quote, tumor necrosis factor receptor. The molecule delivered by gene therapy works like a sponge to sop up excessive levels of tumor necrosis factor, a molecule known to worsen inflammatory bone destruction in patients afflicted not only with periodontal disease, but with rheumatoid arthritis and joint deterioration as well. This could have potentially lifelong treatment effects in patients who are at risk for severe disease activity, said Dr. Giannoble. So that's really neat, because if Dr. Hillman is successful in preventing tooth decay, and he just might be, then our biggest dental disease to deal with will be gum disease, periodontal disease. Because even if we don't get decay, we can lose all of our healthy teeth. I've had to extract a bunch of healthy teeth from people. They didn't have any cavities, but they had terrible gum disease and bone loss, so they had to lose all their teeth. All right, we're going to talk about this more when we come back. You're listening to Dentally Speaking here on AM 1230 WYTS, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to Dentally Speaking. This is Dr. Kvitko, and I'm with you Sunday mornings from 9 to 10. It's 9:23. Thanks for getting up in the morning. It's the 15th, 16th of August. That's right, the 15th was the golf outing. That's why that's on my brain. So, today we're talking about dental news bites, just interesting things that are in the news, things that are going on. It's an exciting time for dentistry. And so far we've talked about some stem cells being harvested and transplanted into the jaw, the fact that redheads need more dental anesthetic to achieve the same results, and some gene therapy to treat gum disease. As far as the redheads, our question of the day is, according to research done at the Cleveland Clinic in Cleveland, Ohio, redheads require what percent more anesthetic for it to be effective? And we have a couple guesses from a couple callers. Henry called in a guess of 50%, meaning he thinks that people need let's see, 50% more. And William, 30% more. All right, those are incorrect, but thank you so much. And we also talked about how there's a little bit of discussion about whether it's redheads or people with ginger hair that need more anesthetic. And ginger apparently is like yellow and orange and tints of red mixed in. So, okay, now, interesting story. This is out of California, and it was where Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger of California on Wednesday conceded that longstanding delays in disciplining errant health professionals were absolutely unacceptable and promised broad reforms, to better protect patients from dentists, pharmacists, therapists, and others accused of misconduct. Boy, they singled out dentists, pharmacists, and therapists. I wonder if they're not including doctors in this? Anyway, this kind of stories like this concern me because I hate to think that the public actually needs protected from dentists, because I'd like to think we're all out there just doing a good job for people. It says the reforms will include adding more investigators and auditors and new laws for fast-track suspensions of licenses of professionals who don't comply with the rules. The reforms would be subsidized by hiking licensing fees and come a month after an investigation by two news organizations revealed that it took an average of 3 years to conclude investigations of nurses accused of wrongdoing. Well, I guess that is a long time. Arnold Schwarzenegger hopes to cut that time in half with the reforms that would target all 18 healing arts boards that regulate the state's 900,000 health workers. He took earlier action to replace members of the state's nursing board. Despite the dramatic gestures, Schwarzenegger's own actions may have contributed to the problems at the boards, according to a Los Angeles Times report. Quote, a blizzard of budget cutting, work furloughs, and failure to promptly fill vacancies on health-related boards may be contributing to the problem. Of course, California, like all other states, seem to be having a lot of budget problems. And this information was reprinted from the KaiserHealthNews.org. So, you know my thoughts on dentistry and dentists and doing the right thing for the patient. If there is a dentist out there who is doing things inappropriate, they need to be handled quickly. Because I believe that since, again, 40% of the people don't go to the dentist on a regular basis, we don't need them to have one more reason to stay home, okay? Because I think every time we see a story like this that airs, it gives those people that are sitting at home one more reason to stay home. Now, we talked about this gene therapy, we talked about the stem cells and all that, and we talked about a potential vaccine. Don't use those, I'm telling you now, don't use those as a reason to stay home, because it's going to be several years before those are in effect, and you may already have cavities, all right? You probably already have gum disease if you're sitting at home, and waiting, thinking that there's going to be some miracle pill or some shot that somebody can inject you with that is going to make your gum disease go away and make your cavities go away, isn't going to happen. It's just not. I know when you say trust me, people become distrusting, but trust me on this one, that there will not be a vaccine or a shot or a pill that will undo the dental disease that is currently going on in your mouth, okay? So I find these stories interesting, but I don't want to have the complete opposite effect by talking about them. Now, before I forget, let me just mention that this show is available by podcast, and you go to www.am1230wyts.com. When you're there, hold your mouse over the on-air button, list of names pops up, obviously choose Dr. Kvitko, and then there'll be instructions how to get to the podcast page. Once you're there, you can pick whatever show that you would like, and the topics hopefully are relatively clear. You can also go to dentallyspeaking.com and learn about upcoming topics and just see information about what me and my office are up to, and hopefully get yourself involved and excited in some of the projects that we do. For example, sponsoring our Libby's Tooth Bud team at the Buddy Walk. That would be great. So you can either send us an email or a call, or you can go to drkvitko.com and find out our contact information and learn how you can be a part of that as well. Okay. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk a little bit about some more interesting things that are going on. We're going to talk a little bit about fluoride. We're going to talk about how some things that are going on in the state legislature about insurance companies and the way that they are treating dentists who have signed up to be on their list. And some other just general stories, things about, somebody who was burned in at a dental office in a fire. And some things that just happen in the dental office, things you don't really think of. So, I do believe it is time to go to a break. Remember our question of the day? Let me just restate it so you can ponder it and maybe send me an email or a phone call. And that is, what percent more anesthetic do redheads require to achieve the same results as most others? All right. 821-1230. You're listening to Dentally Speaking here on AM 1230 WYTS, and we'll be right back.
So hear me when I'm saying,
welcome back to Dentally Speaking here with Dr. Kvitko. Our show is also known as Everything You've Always Wanted to Know About Dentistry, but we're too numb to ask. Thanks so much for joining me. It's August 16th. It's 9:32, so if you were supposed to be somewhere at 9:30, you're late. I want to talk about a story that's going on, this is just relatively recent. This is from the July 2009 Ohio Dental Association Today. That's a journal. And it talks about that the heading of the article is this: Protecting Dentists from Unilateral Actions by Dental Insurers. And it's written by the ODA Executive Director, David Aswani. He's an attorney. And, in the last session of the legislature, the legislature enacted House Bill 125, which was the Healthcare Simplification Act, and it was designed to create transparency and fairness in the contracting process between health insurers and physicians and other healthcare providers. Governor Strickland signed the bill into law, and it became effective on June 25th of 2008. In large part, HB 125, as it's known, has worked well in its implementation and accomplished its goals of bringing more balance and transparency to interactions between providers and insurance. The Ohio General Assembly, did a good thing by adopting House Bill 125. However, an important aspect of that bill has not had its intended effect in the healthcare marketplace. HB 125 was intended to prohibit parties from executing unilateral material contractual amendments to insurance contracts, but some health insurers have now inserted provisions into provider contracts to force providers to continue to accept material amendments. In one instance, a large health insurer began using the following language in its provider contracts. Here's the quote: If provider objects in writing to the material amendment within 15 days upon receipt of such notice, and there is no resolution of the objection, and neither party terminates the agreement in the manner described above, the material amendment will become effective. Under this scenario, the provider, meaning the dentist, is forced to either terminate the existing contract with that insurance company or accept the unilateral material contractual amendment. Similarly, one large dental plan operating in Ohio has an agreement provision which states that the plan reserves the right to make material changes to the participating agreement with a 90-day written notice. It's unclear what recourse a dentist who objects to such an amendment has other than termination, meaning saying, I don't want to be on that list anymore. This practice effectively undermines one of the main protections enacted in last session's House Bill 125. So there's a new bill in the House. It's called House Bill 185, which we hope will eliminate this practice and prohibit one-sided contract amendments. I don't know if you're paying attention to this. Well, I think you are, because we keep seeing on TV all of these very heated debates at these town meetings that the congressmen are holding. And they, what we're hearing and what we're seeing is people are kind of not in favor of this. The majority of people that show up seem to be against this new massive overhaul and having a government-run healthcare plan. People are getting, these town meetings are having twice the number of people show up that have ever shown up in the past. And if you listen, and if you listen carefully, even the president is now talking about the insurers. I've been talking about the insurers for well over a year now, more like a year and a half, and we are now hearing more and more legislators talking about maybe the problem, isn't the doctors after all. Maybe it's the insurers. I mean, they're the ones that are cutting care, and premiums are going up ridiculous. Employers can't afford it. And when they say healthcare is broken, I don't think they mean the care that we receive. They mean the system. And we still have the best healthcare system in the world. I mean, proof of that would be when a foreign dignitary needs care, medical care, and in a lot of cases, advanced dental care, where do they go? Or where do they come? They come to the United States because they know they're going to get the best care here. We have great doctors, great dentists, and very caring, very smart people. Personally, honestly, I think they're missing the biggest reason that healthcare costs have risen. Well, maybe two. One is the attorneys I think we have something like, 80% of the world's lawyers and 20% of the world's population or something, or 5% of the world's population. Those numbers are just off the top of my head, which are probably wrong, but it's some ridiculous percentage like that. And so every time I see, think about this, the next time you see a story, one of those heartwarming stories of maybe a young Iraqi child who was brought to this country for some what appears to be a magical surgery to rebuild their life, or some new innovation that some surgery that just took place for the first time. You know what I think when I see that? Besides thinking how wonderful that is, I just can't help but think, yeah, this is a great doctor, look at what he's doing, but how much you want to bet he's being sued by about three people right now? I mean, it's sad, but think about it. It probably is. And so there's this added cost of dental and medical care that's out there because we have to think about being sued. And, I won't extract a tooth without taking an x-ray. Can I extract teeth without an x-ray? Yeah, but I won't. Because what if there's a cyst that happens to be attached to the end of that root? What if there's, maybe there's a hook on the root that I didn't know about, so therefore I break a root tip. Now, breaking a root tip isn't the end of the world, but when I go back in to get it, there might be a little more trauma to the area. Maybe healing will be a little bit delayed because of the extra trauma. But there's a cost there. There's a cost for everything that we do, every test that we do. And it's very easy to be a Monday morning quarterback, which is what the attorneys do, but they are not there. They are not doctors. They are not dentists. And the system treats doctors and dentists very, very poorly. There's this feeling that doctors and dentists aren't allowed to make a mistake. But yet, attorneys make a mistake. They make mistakes all the time. And guess what? If they don't know something, they get to charge us to learn it. They charge for their research. Doctors and dentists are just supposed to already know it. And if somebody comes in with an issue, and we have to go to the textbooks or go back to the journals and try to find the answer, we don't get to charge for that. And if we do go back to a journal and we're being sued, the attorney wants to know what journal we read. So I'm thinking so that they can go in and try to tear down the story that we read. So anyway, on one hand I want to say don't get me started, but it didn't take you to get me started. It took me to get me started, and I think we'll talk a little bit more about this when we come back. So remember, the question of the day is what increase in percentage of anesthetic do redheads need to get the same results as the rest of us? You can call 821-1230. You're listening to Dentally Speaking here on AM 1230 WYTS, and we'll be right back.
You make me smile, please stay for a while now. Just take your time wherever you go.
Welcome back to Dentally Speaking. speaking with Dr. Kvitko. Our show is also known as Everything You've Always Wanted to Know About Dentistry, but we're too numb to ask. And this is a show that hopefully gives you a chance to ask your questions. When I do my Teeth Across America series and I go out and talk to folks all over the country, they always have questions. And it's like, well, you know, now that you're here, I do have a question. And so hopefully you'll feel the same way. Don't be threatened. It's just radio. Nobody knows what you look like. I don't even have to give your real name. And you could be in your pajamas for all we care. All right. Now, guesses to the question of the day. We have a couple guesses here. One from Madeline, who says she thinks that redheads require 10% more anesthetic. And Jackie, who thinks that redheads require 25% more anesthetic. And Gordon, who thinks that they require 40% more anesthetic. So we're going to go ahead and give the answer now. And again, this is according to a research study done at the Cleveland Clinic in Cleveland, Ohio. And they concluded that redheads require 20% more anesthetic for it to be effective. Now, that's, I mean, that's a fifth more. That's significant. Again, that's very statistically significant. And I have this, I have a quote here from a woman named Jo from Virginia Beach, Virginia. And she says, I'm a redhead, and all my life I've had to tell dentists that I need extra meds to go numb. Most do not believe me until they see me react when they touch my teeth. But all have then given me more, so I'm not so anxious about the dentist. Also, when I had my C-section, they gave me 2 doses of the epidural, but were still surprised that I could move my feet. They knocked me out completely instead. I now find that both dentists and anesthesiologists are aware that redheads are different, but it's still the first thing I say when I go to someone new. Okay, well, if you're a dentist or a dental student listening, you are now aware as well, because I wasn't until recently when I did the research for this show. And so, you know, make a little mental note. The next time a redhead comes in, you might need a little more anesthetic, maybe, you know, 20% more at least. So I find that very interesting. And now I know what ginger is on top of that. Okay, I want to get back to the insurance thing. And basically, what we're hearing and what I read every day in the newspaper and what I see on the evening news is that people don't want another welfare system. They don't want another system run by the federal government that's going to dictate who gets care, how much care, tell doctors what they have to earn. And I mentioned that I see that the attorneys are a big part of the problem. By the way, you haven't heard that, have you? No one seems to be mentioning that, at least of the legislators. Why is that? Because they're all attorneys. All the politicians are attorneys. And they're not going to do anything to limit their profession's ability to make a hefty living. And you think dentists make a lot of money and doctors make a lot of money? Check out the attorneys. You know, when they get these multi-million dollar settlements, they get about 40% of that. So an attorney could potentially earn $1 million with just one settlement. And actually, come to think of it, it's a lot more than that. So, and here's the other thing. And the other thing that drives up healthcare costs is these people that are illegally in the country who don't have money to pay for their care. It's funny how people can come to this country and not even really speak the language, but somehow they learn very quickly that if they need medical care, all they have to do is go to an emergency room. Because our government, in its wisdom, has decided that hospitals who have emergency rooms have to provide care for anybody that walks in, whether they can pay or not. So guess what happens? The hospitals have to charge the rest of us more, those of us with insurance or those of us with the ability to pay, more than we should be charged, because they have to cover the costs of the people that aren't going to pay. And so you have, and there's where the increased costs come. So when you hear that hospital costs have gone up by 100%, or doubled in a couple of years, you have the lawsuits and you have all this free care that has to be doled out. And, you know, I have recently seen at my office several people who have come in, and this one comes to mind, they're victims of some sort of crime, victims of domestic abuse, and they've had a tooth knocked out, they've been punched or pushed to the ground or something. They don't have care. They're born in this country. They have a job, but it's not enough to cover the cost of care. They don't have insurance. Maybe they're making, you know, $8 to $9 an hour. And in this particular case, a woman walked in on Friday, and her live-in, I don't know if it was her husband or her boyfriend, punched her and knocked out her front 3 or 4 teeth on the lower arch. Okay? So, the gums are healed, the bone is healed, but she's walking around with no front teeth, and it's not something she can go to an emergency room and receive the care, because she's not in pain, it's not an emergency. So she's looking for some way to get this handled. Her son is at basic training, getting ready to ship out to Afghanistan once that is over, and she's going to see him for the first time in a couple weeks, and hopes to look nice when he gets off the plane or the bus. And there's really not a lot of options. We'll talk about her options a little bit when we return from our break. You're listening to Dentally Speaking on AM 1230 WYTS, Sundays at 9 a.m., and we'll be right back.
Just to see you smile, I'd do anything.
Welcome back to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kavitko. It's 9:54 in the morning, August 16th, Sunday. It's a great day. It's going to be beautiful out there in the 90s. Might even go out on the boat. We'll just have to see. All right, before I wrap this up, I do want to let people know that besides going to the podcast page at am1230wyts.com, you can find our podcasts on iTunes by searching Dentally Speaking or Dr. Kavitko. All right? That way you can download it to your iPod, listen while you drive, something like that. Also, if interested, you can follow me on Twitter by going to www.twitter.com/Dr. Kavitko. No period after the DR. So it's DrKvitko, Dr. Kavitko. And, you know, please do. It's nice to know people are interested in what we're doing. And I give updates on, you know, sedations and implants and the golf outing and things like that. So hopefully you wouldn't be bored to tears. And if you are, you can unfollow me. But anyway. Okay, so I mentioned that the lady that came in, and let me tell you what I tell folks that are in her situation. First of all, she's hoping to get funding through the Victims of Crime Compensation. My experience with that has been mixed. It seems like, I don't know where the funding comes from. I do believe it's a state agency. It seems like it's very slow and very cumbersome. And for example, one gentleman that came in, he had been mugged. They knocked a couple teeth out, front teeth as usual. It pushed to the ground, and we needed to make him a partial, or we needed to make him a bridge. We needed to give him his smile back. Well, the teeth that they didn't knock out had some decay, had some gum disease, and so they were reporting back that we're not going to pay for a bridge or a crown on these teeth because they were decayed before he got mugged. Now think about that. They're right, but does that mean anything? No. The guy, those are the teeth they didn't knock out. So those are the teeth we're stuck trying to use to replace his smile. So it shouldn't matter whether they have decay or gum disease if they can both be treated. Right? Well, in this lady's case, hopefully she'll get signed up with that and maybe it'll come through. In the other case, I mentioned this gentleman was in his 80s, and I honestly think they were dragging their feet hoping he would pass away before they ever had to pay. I know that sounds awful, but it seems like, and honestly, that's what happened, by the way. This woman is younger, and there is this program you may have heard me mention. It's called Options, and it's through the Ohio Dental Association. Okay, so if you're in a situation like that where you're missing some front teeth, or you're missing some teeth and you're not in pain and you know that you can't go to an emergency room, then either call Options or contact Options. You can contact them at www.oda.org. That's the Ohio Dental Association's website. And they will be happy to give you the paperwork. You do need to fill out some paperwork to show that you have the financial, that you meet the requirements for obtaining this free or discounted care. All right. Hopefully that will help out. Thanks so much for tuning in. Please tune in next Sunday morning at 9 again. I think we'll have an interesting show. And go out and have a great, great day. We'll be right back.